Hello, this is Joshua Mack in a few minutes with the Puritan. We've been working our way through a series of sermons by Richard Sibbes on Philippians chapter 3, which of course begins by saying, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." And so Sibbes has been calling on us to obey that command, to pursue joy. And he has been talking about why joy is important, the kind of joy that we are to experience, joy in the Lord, and how to pursue joy, and what can keep Christians from experiencing that kind of joy. And now he is going to move on to the second part of the verse, which says, "To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you." So Paul had already commanded the Philippians to rejoice, and he's actually going to command the Philippians to rejoice again in chapter 4. And here he is explaining actually why he's repeating himself. Sibbes says, "Although the apostles had formally bidden them to rejoice in the former chapter, 18th and 28th verses, so chapter 2, 18, chapter 2, verse 28, yet notwithstanding, he bids them rejoice again, saying that it's safe for them to hear the same things often, and it's not hard for him to write the same things twice. Besides, he does also bid them to beware of such as may hinder their joy, as dogs and those of the circumcision party, preventing thereby secret objections which they might make against repeating the same things." So Paul's preaching and he keeps telling them to rejoice in the Lord. And here he knows that there are going to be people who are like, "Why is he repeating himself?" And so he's like, "You know what? This is why I'm repeating myself. And this is why you need to take repetition seriously. It's because there are people out there, it's because joy is important, and because there are people out there that are making it difficult for you to rejoice in the Lord." And now Sibbes is going to make some general kinds of observations about this. He says, one, we need to note the wisdom of the word and the spirit of God to know secret objections that might be made and to prevent them, turning away thereby whatsoever might hinder the force of the word. So this is a beautiful thing about God's word. It knows you. God knows you. And so he knows the way that you are going to object to his commands. And he searches them out. He sort of hems you in so that you your objections are exposed as being silly. This is, even when you study the Word of God, something that is good to do as you study is just to ask, what does this verse tell me about what humans are like? God knows what humans are like. And so as I look at the strategy God is pursuing here in this passage, why is he pursuing that strategy? What does that tell me about what I should know about humans? Like here, it would be humans often are going to shut down when they hear something repeated and not actually recognize how important repetition is for learning and growth. And in the second place, he says, this teaches us that it is the duty of those that mean to prevail by instruction to know the secret dispositions of those they deal with. For when their minds are not quiet or cleared from doubts and hindrances, they are not fit to entertain any good counsel at all. So this is like a teaching tip, in a sense. When you are instructing someone or counseling someone or discipling someone, you're not just wanting to say what you want to say. You're wanting them to understand what you're saying, and even if it's true, if it's from God's word, you want them to submit to what you're saying. And so you need to exegete people. You need to think about, okay, what is it that is going to make this particular person, make it hard for this particular person to understand what the word of God's saying, and why might they object to it, and how do I address that? And then he says, thirdly, for I cannot stand on these things. I'm not sure exactly what that means. Maybe he can't take too long on these things. It shows our dispositions by nature to count repetition of the same things to be tedious and irksome. For since the fall of man, we wander in our thoughts and affections and intentions, and it's part of our loss to lose our constancy and settled disposition. Wherefore, we find it noted of the Israelites that they were weary of one kind of food, although it's called angels' food, which is sort of a funny illustration, isn't it? That, like, bread falling down from heaven became something that people could complain about. You would think, you know, you're in the wilderness and you don't have any food and God rains bread, that you would not be able to complain about it. And especially, I guess, the kind of bread, angels' food bread that they were eating, you would think, man, that's pretty hard to complain about. But people did. They got bored of it because it was the same thing. And he's saying that is a problem with our nature. And he says, in the fourth place, which I intend more to stand upon. Okay, so this is the one he's going to take more time with. He says, observe with me that dwelling on the same things is necessary even for the best Christians. So this will be good. Why do pastors repeat themselves? Why do you need to hear the same thing? This is good for me because sometimes as a pastor, you can feel a sort of pressure to always have to say something new. And people sometimes even come to church. They're like, I like that sermon because it was saying something new. And of course, there's so much in the Bible. God's mind is incomprehensible. So we're swimming in an ocean here. There's so much to learn. And we should constantly be pursuing a greater and greater sight of the glory of God. And so we could talk about that for a while, why we shouldn't just settle for a superficial knowledge of God's word, and why there's plenty of hope and reason for us to think that we should be learning new things all the time. And yet at the same time, we need to be careful that we don't become so enamored with saying something new that we get bored or we don't listen to truths that we might already have heard before or know, because we need to hear. There are certain truths we need to hear over and over. I was reading a letter from John Newton, and when he was an old man, to a younger pastor, and he was saying, yeah, there's a lot in the Bible to preach about, but as he got older, he was realizing more and more that people need to hear the gospel over and over and over and over again. And so he was just happy to preach the cross. And I'm sure as he preached the cross, he said it different ways and looked at it from different angles. But his point's a good one, you know, that there are certain truths that just are such fundamental truths that we really should be hearing them all the time. And he's going to give some reasons why we need repetition. First, because truth is supernatural and our minds are carnal, and that which must change these, our minds, must be assiduous, or else our minds will sink into their first estate. We're naturally changeable and therefore had need to have the truth as at the first to change us, even so to be continually presented to our souls to keep us perpetually in this spiritual change. So just because we're constantly fighting apathy, and our minds aren't like banks where you just put a truth in and now it's banked. It falls out. And there are certain truths that are especially slippery and fall out very easily. And they're usually the most important truths. And so if we're going to keep growing, we need to keep hearing those truths over and over and over again. Just like we need to keep eating every day, I suppose. Somebody says, why do you need to keep eating every day? Can't you just eat once and it's done? You'd be like, that doesn't even make sense. That's not how humans work. And that's the same as true when it comes to hearing spiritual truths. Second, he says, second reason may be because we often regard not the truth at the first, second, or third time urged and taught unto us. Wherefore, Job 33:14, it said, God speaketh once or twice, yet man perceives not. Therefore, if the caution and point be necessary, the reception must needs be necessary also. This is good for parents. This is good for teachers, for sure, because sometimes I imagine, and I would think that you're probably similar, if I said it once clearly, then I'm just kind of being pedantic, or I'm like treating people as if they were small or children to say the same thing a number of times, and like something's wrong if I have to do that. And yet, that's a little naive about myself, for sure, and naive about how humans work. Most of us don't get it the first time as well as we could get it. Even if we understand it a little bit, we need to hear it repeatedly to really process it. So that's a good leadership leadership principle. Then he says, reason three, in the third place, there's such a breadth and depth in the points delivered out of the Word of God that although we hear often the same thing, yet we never come to understand the full extent of them. Our souls are narrow. We cannot at the first so soundly and deeply consider of them. Neither can we understand so many particulars as otherwise we should, for in every Christian truth there is milk for children and strong meat, which requires digestion and likewise repetition. So this is a good warning, because sometimes once we think we've heard something before, we shut down when it comes to listening and really processing what's being said. And that's pride. It would be very shocking and really impossible if we could understand everything about a truth the first time we heard it or the thousandth time we've heard it. We need to hear truth again because there's more truth to be learned even than we might imagine in that truth that we've heard before. Justification by faith. Are you really going to say that you've understood everything that you need to know about that? No, there's different angles, maybe different ways to apply it to your life. There's different objections to it that need to be answered. I mean, we could go on and on. A fourth reason may be because our corruptions daily increase and grow upon us, and variety of occasion and worldly business being natural to us, and therefore more delightful, are too powerful and do thrust out the consideration of divine truths, which are commonly against the hair. That must have been a saying back in the day, against the hair. Google it, I guess. I don't know what it means, but I think he is saying that we are so often just filled up with worldly things that it's hard for us to think very deeply about spiritual things. And so we need to repeat truth, because it takes a lot of work for us to hear truth, because we are usually distracted by worldly concerns when somebody's speaking truth to us, which might even be happening now, I suppose. A fifth reason may be because we work as well as we understand, weakly or strongly. When we work well, we must have things present strongly in the understanding, as when we tell men of God's justice, omnipresence, of the day of judgment, of death, and the like. The lively and present remembrance of these things keeps the mind of man so in frame as it cannot will any evil, no more than a lewd person will offend in the presence of the judge. And this lively remembrance of things is wrought chiefly by repetition and often enforcing the same things, and it makes the mind to be wholly taken up therewith. And therefore it's a good way, when we would do any good action well, to be taken up with reading or hearing of good by way of preparation thereunto. And the want of the presence of good things in our mind lays us open and makes us fit for all companies and occasions of sin. So, obvious, right? Like, the better we understand, the better we do. And we are helped by someone focusing us again on the most important truths, because that puts it right there in the forefront of our mind and keeps us walking in obedience. In the next and last place, so final one, our memories are very weak to remember and to retain anything that's good. Since they fall, they're broken, and good things sink through them as water through a sieve, and therefore has great need of remembrancers. And after this manner has God dealt with man, as in the promise of the blessed seed. How often is it reiterated and typified, and to Abraham it's renewed 7 times. So God to David often renewed his promise concerning the kingdom, as also the promise concerning the deliverance of the people of Israel from captivity in Isaiah is often repeated. This also did Christ, the great doctor of his church, in his parables. In one chapter, he argues one principal matter with 4 parables, one after another, although with some variety, teaching ministers thereby to do the like to avoid tediousness. Repetition in scriptures serves for different reasons, sometimes for the stronger averring of the certainty thereof. Wherefore was that Pharaoh's dream was doubled, sometimes for emphasis' sake, as Christ did often, amen, amen, and in dying thou shalt die, and the like phrases. But the main end is to stir us up and our affections up, and to keep them in life and action when they're stirred up. Therefore, 2 Peter 1:12 says, because they knew they could not be oversure of salvation, nor grow too much in grace, he says, so long as he lives, he will put them in mind of such things. And so we need to be reminded, because we're very good at forgetting and very poor at remembering. And he gives two different applications of this for us. So we'll end here. But he says, one, let it not therefore be grievous to pastors to do what is for the safety of God's children. They must do it till they see practice come to perfection, and they must cast and cast again. Peter, he cast often and got nothing, yet at Christ's word he cast again. So must ministers. God that blesses not every cast may bless the last cast to the catching of many, and therefore a minister had need of a fatherlike affection to his hearers as St. Paul had, 1 Thessalonians 2:11. So this is definitely something that I need to be reminded of because, yeah, sometimes I can think, I don't want to say the same thing again. And certainly I don't want to be boring and just kind of make it more difficult to hear because I'm unnecessarily repeating myself. But it would be foolish for me as a pastor not to repeat certain truths over and over and over and over and over again. There are certain kinds of truths that we just need to hear all the time for our spiritual good. And even if the first couple times it doesn't seem like it's making much of an impact, it might be that God uses it the fifth time to absolutely transform a person. And then he says, the second use may be for us as listeners. If we hear the same things repeated, hear them as an impression which may carry force and a work upon our hearts, and they may work upon our hearts more strongly than before. And know that God may work on us by one means at one time, which he did not at another, as a dart pierces deeper being cast by one than by another. And therefore, let us not be weary of attendance on God's ordinances, for our corruptions daily increase as our age does. Our minding of things is but slight, and our memory very brittle. And we must know that the word teaches doing and practicing as well as knowing. And therefore, to conceive a necessity of a continual ministry to perfect a church as well as to begin it. The sacraments are necessary, receive them often. The primitive church had them every Lord's day. Till we come to the holy land of that heavenly Canaan, let us submit ourselves to this manna, its angels' food, and they desire to look into these mysteries. And therefore, take heed of fullness of, or loathing, for when we come to that pass that we must have novum or nihil, God takes away this manna thus loathed. That would be an interesting sentence to try to figure out exactly what he means. But in general, I think he might be saying, look, be very careful. We need things like communion all the time. We need to hear the word of God all the time. And we're sometimes tempted to be like, oh man, I got to go hear another sermon. Oh, I got to go think about this truth again. But watch out that we don't become so much like that, that God's like, you know what? I'm going to take it away from you for a while because you're not appreciating what God has given you. And he says, God did this with the Greek churches, Revelations 1 and 2. They gave themselves not to the plain, sincere truth, but man's inventions, whereby God gave them over to strange opinions. And indeed, it's a rule. None absents himself from God's word, but he's given over, and that justly, to believe toys, to attribute all praise and delight to this or that idol author, which it may be as heathenish or popish. The Greek churches, affecting novelties, were justly given over to Muhammad. But to a true Christian heart, there cannot be more delight than in the experimental knowledge of Christ's death and office, of perseverance and grace. There are standing dishes in this Christian banquet. It's a sign God means to plague that person or nation that's delighted in such ill sauces. He will make them come out of our nostrils. We shall have our fill of them and never hunger after the sincere milk of the word. And so that's quite a warning, right? Like sometimes, and you've probably seen this where somebody is sort of looking down on the basic truths of Scripture like they're basic. They're not basic if you really look at them, but they're acting like they're basic. And they're kind of searching out new things. I think if you know Rob Bell, this is something that seemed to have happened to him for sure. And it is a warning to us. We need to be careful that we're not so proud that we think we don't need constant reminding. This is why we go back to the same books of the Bible in our devotions over and over again, right? This is why we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. We need to be able to identify the truths that are most essential, and we need to go deeper and deeper in them and be reminding ourselves of them over and over. And in our discipleship of our children, we shouldn't be afraid of repetition. We need to make knowledge acceptable, of course, not not kind of speaking in such of a way that makes it difficult for people, for our children to really listen to us. But at the same time, there are certain things that we need to say as often as we can possibly say them, because they're really foundational, fundamental for their spiritual health. And because as human beings, we need repetition if we're going to be spiritually safe. And he's saying here, that's why he is going to tell them a couple different times to rejoice. It's because it's not hard for him, and because it's good for them.